Okay, so we're back. This is chapter 6, and it's chapter 6, and the example numbers do not sort of follow. So this is, I believe, AE8 login, which is the second page on the five-page version of the book that all the people didn't have. And of course, this material is copyright Creative Commons, including the audio. And so now we are going to be talking about templating. And so the application that I just showed you was ugly. Ugly, ugly, ugly. It put HTML in strings, which is just plain creepy. Do not do it. So we could do lots of string stuff to make HTML, but that's just not how we write most civilized web programs. And it makes it keeps the response outright, which is way too much text to type. I wish there was a short version of that. Templates allow us to separately edit the HTML file and have little areas where we drop some Python data in, and then we go get the template, we render the template, and away we go. So we'll start with a very simple one. I don't have the source code to this one handed to you because it's quite simple. I'm going to do a direct transformation of the last thing that we did into a template. Okay? So this is red. The red's kind of hard to read. Sorry about that. But at the top here is this form string, and it's using the Python triple quote mechanism that does triple quotes to begin and end strings. And we write the thing out, and we write some parameters out. Oops, that's not what I wanted to do. So we want to separate out the HTML from the rest of the code. And we use a classic thing called Model View Controller. How many people know what Model View Controller is? More people know about Model View Controller than Python. That's probably a good sign. So the idea of the Model View Controller for the 5% that don't know, and now you can be part of the in crowd once you know Model View Controller, is that the controller is the kind of code that does the thinking. In this app engine, we do that in Python. View is kind of HTML and CSS. That's the look and feel. And the model will be the last thing we'll talk about. It's the persistent data store. And so we kind of logically break up the request response cycle. And the browser makes a request that is seen by the controller. The controller works with the model, potentially updating the model or reading from the model, and then pulls in the view and then sends back the HTML response. We call Model View Controller MVC for short, and it's not just Google App Engine, Ruby on Rails, Spring MVC, half a dozen other things. We'll meet the model in a later chapter. For now, we're just going to talk about view and controller. So a template is basically mostly HTML, but we have some little syntax embedded in the HTML to put the bits and bobs from the Python into the HTML. So here's a really, really simple template. And again, this is AE04 templates, I believe. And the syntax for the templates is the important character is the curly brace. And what this double curly brace is, it says, go find the render variable named DAT and put its contents here. The rest of this is just rendered. And so the hot spot, as it were, in here is double brackets. Oh, it is Django. How many people know Django? Well, then you can go out for a while. All right. You don't have to, or you can disengage your brain or catch up on Facebook if you already know Django. No, it's Python. I mean, App Engine just ripped off Django.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, there's a bit of crankiness because it was Django 0.9.6, and Django people are kind of like into 0.9.7 or something. But yeah, and Python and App and Google wasn't about to change, so.
Will the rest be Django?
What's that?
Will the rest of your talk be about Django?
No. Just this little bit.
Okay.
When we get to models, although that'll look a lot like Django too. Yeah, that's... I'm sorry if you're like...
No.
Maybe you could give the talk then. So, if there's anything different, I'm curious. Because I never really learned Django.
I just happened to use it a month ago, that's right.
Okay. So I think being similar to Django is a positive, not a negative. And there are other rendering template capabilities, and not all people are in love with Django templates. They have their advantages and their disadvantages. But this is very Django. I mean, you'll even see, doesn't say Django here. So in the controller, we have a line of Python code that actually does the rendering. And there's really two inputs to the Python code. One is the file that contains the template, and the other is a Python dictionary, which is render variable and then content. Okay? And so this is basically, here's where most of my HTML, here's my HTML and all the little stuff. And then when you find the little string dat, stick hello there in there. Okay? And so that's the render engine. So that you can think of the render process as taking some render data. That's the Python dictionary, the template, which is annotated HTML, and producing a string that's rendered output, and then we send it out. So here we go. The render data is a dictionary, which is key value information. The HTML on the right-hand side, it's HTML with these little double brackets, and then when we call the render method, they go in, and the renderer grinds through all this stuff, does all the complex bits, oops, and out she comes. So see, I never know when to stop. There we go. See, the render is a process. It takes time. And then we get the output of the render, right? And so the fun stuff replaces the brackety bits. So we have a place where we put these. We put them in a folder called templates. So let me show you that. Oops. So we are now in AE04 templates. So now we have a folder called templates, and in the folder we have two templates. Now you will find in every example that I do, in every example from Google, that they all use the folder templates. That is simply a convention. But since it's such a heavy convention, it just makes life simpler if we all use it. So this is what here's the template in this particular one. And it's got two little hot areas, a place for the guess and a place for the hint. And then the rest of it's just HTML. And if we were to look at the index.py code, we look at the index.py, in the get, this is finding the file path. And this is ugly magic. The simple way to describe this is we are concatenating the working directory of the current file we're in. That's what this means. The path, the directory name of the path of --file --, which is this file, then add /template/index.htm. So that ends up being a file path, which we paste in, we pass into template.render method. Here's the file to render, and here is the text. And then what comes back from render is a string, and we simply write that string. So in this string, it's HTML. Okay? And so, you know, now we don't have any HTML in here. We do have this little kind of nasty pattern that we just do over and over and over again. We effectively look up the file. We call the render very explicitly. In some frameworks like Ruby on Rails, this where the template is more implicit. In Python, it's more explicit. We see it. It's kind of there. It's right in front of us. And it's not all that bad, but you got to get used to it. You need it. You don't need the name of the current file. What you need is the current working directory. And this little idiom is what? I don't know. This is the example that we always use. If you look at these and you print these out, these get really long and really ugly, especially when you're on the app engine running in. These are really long things. you can't just say open a file in dot slash. That doesn't work. Yeah, you can't just say dot slash. Okay, and so let's see. This is AE08 login. Any other questions? Oops, let's go back. So we end up with this pattern where we end up with these things, and one is the file. This is the file name, the absolute path of the file name, and then we give the file path and then give the stuff to poke into the to the templates.
Bob, I have one question.
Yeah.
Given that we're using osstarfdirname and sorry, and then osstarfjoin.
Yeah.
But then we hard coded the directory separator in the next bit.
Isn't yeah, I know.
Osstarfjoin supposed to hide the directory separator?
Yeah, that's probably bad on my part. That's probably my bad. You're smarter than I am in Python. Luckily, Python doesn't care, apparently. So why do we even not auspath join, right? That's a philosophical question.
Either just add them together or join them, but half path doesn't seem to make much sense.
Point taken. Point taken. Okay, so this is the pattern that I showed you before. This is sort of irrelevant, irrelevant, irrelevant. And so I sort of showed you this. There is this folder called templates, but again, you'll see it in every example, but it's not a rule, it's just a pattern. And when you wrote that Python code, or you borrowed that Python code from me, you were hard coding this templates in, and thankfully everyone does it, and so it just makes it a little easier. So we follow the rule pretty carefully. Okay, so now we're gonna move on to the next one and talk about using and reusing templates across multiple templates. So real applications don't really just have one HTML page. They have lots of HTML pages that have stuff that goes across them. So if this little application, like a little login application that we're going to play with, the navigation is common across the top. The links are common across the top. The navigation is common across the top. We have three pages. The bottom part's different on every page, but the top part's the same. And of course, it's really hacky and bad to, you know, put the same thing in file after file after file. So we can start by having three files and then putting the navigation in each file. Now this also begins to talk about something called the static folder. Okay. So templates are files that we actually read in our index.py. For files like images, you create this folder called static. And the thing about static is treated quite differently by Google App Engine. App Engine knows that these are not URLs that are dynamically coming from your application. And so it actually distributes these files in its caching servers around the world. And you know, as your application gets used more and more, they're distributed. And you actually don't get charged CPU time for these files. You only get charged transfer time for these files. So it's a good idea if you have something that's not changing. And it also sets the cache header properly. So Google understands these static files. And so in this case, I've got a CSS. We'll look at this HTML in a second. And then this is an example where you take that app.yaml file and you add a new entry to it. There we go. So now we have two handlers, and these come in order. And in AE05 templates, it says send any URL that starts with static into the folder static. Now, the convention of slash static is a convention. The name of the folder slash static is a convention, but it's a convention we all use so that we can read each other's code. Now, this the word static underscore dir, that's actually a directive, and so you can't change that. But static and static you could change, but no one ever changes them. Unless they want to hide the fact that they're on App Engine or something. Okay, so if we take a look at the HTML, do I have this one? I probably have something similar to it. Maybe I don't. No, actually I don't have this one. It's not the AE8 login yet. Okay, so In this particular application, I'm just adding a static file in this one, so this is not very exciting. So here's a big long bunch of HTML that represents this page over here. And I have, this is hard to read, /static/glike.css. And so that's the way that I'm getting my CSS. So that says the CSS file is coming from static. And so you end up putting these sort of absolute URLs in so that you can use the static capability of App Engine so you're not paying to serve your CSS. Now, as I want to write my switching code, I'm going to write some controller code that's going to automatically render the right template. And so we're going to take a look at the URL of this thing, and we're going to use this to look up the appropriate template. So let me run this application real quick and show you how this one works. So this one will be, AEO5 templates. So this one's going to be really simple. You'll notice that the URL is changing when I go to sites, when I go to topics, and then when I go to the main thing. Okay? And I'm going to use this string here that's coming off of the request to figure out which topic it is. I mean, which template it is. So if I go, I make this be zap.htm, well, it's going to give me back index. So let me show you the code that does that. Oh, wait. What's the difference? Oh. Okay, yeah, we're in AEO5 templates. So I'll look at the index.py in here. Actually, I'll bring this up in TextWrangler so it looks prettier. Ah, much prettier. Okay, so if I look at my program, it's now quite simple because this main is not actually changed in any of these things. It's the router that says send URLs to this handler. In the get, I pull off the path, and that path is the /topics, and I connect that to templates, and then I render that particular thing. And if the file doesn't exist, I just render index.htm, and I call the render, and away I go. So that's not a particularly exciting application. Let's get through this one and on to the more fun one. Okay, so again, the key essence of this one is we pull the path off and we look up the name of the template based on the URL and then render the appropriate thing. Okay? So then, base templates are where the power really comes in. So now we're going to do AE06 templates. So let me show you that one real quick. So in AE06 templates, the thing that we're going to add here, everything is kind of the same. We keep building this application. Our CSS is here. This _base.htm is the new file. So let me throw that in here. Oops. Okay, so that's the base. So let me show you some slides on that, and then we'll come back to what's in it. So that's AE06 templates is where we're at now. So when we are building across a bunch of pages, things like the head and the navigation are very common across those pages. So we want to really put those in a single file. So we have we add another template, this base HTM, and this is the template that's going to be reused in all these other templates. Originally, we had three templates, our index file, our sites file, our topics file. This is the base file. So we're going to reuse this in each of these. I'll show you how to do that. So the way you do it is, if you look at the other files that we didn't really look at, they're almost identical. The yellow bits are almost identical. The green bits are the only thing that changed. So we have a lot of files, and we don't want to put this identical stuff in file after file after file. So the idea is to factor out that material that goes common across pages and then leave a spot in the base template. So you take the original file, and you got the yellow stuff, which is the common stuff, and then the green stuff that is the stuff that's unique to that particular page. So what you do is you create a base file by basically tearing out, making one file that has the common stuff, and then tearing out the green bit and replacing it with this curly bracket percent block, and then a name of the block, body content in this particular place. The fact that I've got a div of the same name is really irrelevant. And then there's some text and then end block. And that goes into the file base.htm. Then what you do is you take your original file, and this was index.htm, and then that stuff goes in there in that file, but then we add a bit of Django templating to it where you basically say this index.htm starts with or extends base HTM, which means it pulls all that stuff in, and then in the place that says block body content, put this stuff in there instead. So it replaces that bit with this bit. And so in effect, we get back the file we did in the first place, except we're not copying all that common stuff from place to place to place. And the net result of this is that the rendering process takes the template, which then extends the base template to create sort of like the super uber template, and then the render data comes in, and then the render engine puts all that together and produces rendered output. So the template is the stuff in this upper left. This is the index. This is actually not the template. That's index. This is the template. So that comes in. They all come in, and it produces with those three things. The resulting HTML. And so it's a way to factor out the common bits of the HTML. Okay. So it turns out that in this particular application, let me show you it running again. Now, in this particular application, one of the things that you'll notice is it has this really cool little feature where it changes the color using CSS of the page we're on. And I just ripped this idea off of Google. You'll notice that they do it on their pages. That's why my CSS is called glike.css, because it's like Google, because I stole it, and their colors and everything. The width of the lines and everything is taken right from Google. But what I do is I change so that you know which one you're on. Now, if you view source of this, the mechanics of this are simple. I have my header, and I have a link, and then the one I want to be black is called class equals selected, and the one that's not black doesn't say class equals selected. So if I switch to topics, and I do a view source, and I look at that, oops. This time, topics is selected. And so the key, the one thing that we do is we have to come up with a way in this reusable code to change which of these things is selected. And if you just put it in the base, all this navigation is coming from the base. And so we have to come up with a way to conditionally put the word selected on the right one so that our CSS can render all this stuff effectively. And that code is right here. And here. So we're going to add a value, and I'll show you where that comes in a second. We're going to add a value to our render data called path. And we're just going to put a string in which path we're on. If we're on /sites.htm or /topics.htm, what it really says is render this bit if the path is equal to sites.htm. Say class equals selected. If it's topics.htm, we'll say class selected on this one. And so this is in the base file. This is in base, right? And so we have to add a parameter to the render that includes this path so that these if statements can properly put out class equals selected. Oops. So let's go back to so the problem is, as I said, we got to get to the point where class equals selected is on the page we're on and not, in particular, not on the page we're not on. And so there's some CSS in the file we're not going to look at because this is not a class on CSS that basically sets the selected on A tags to be black and have no underline, just like Google. So the problem is that depending on which page we're in, that's in the base now. That's in the base template. So we want that to be different on each one. So we're going to pass into our render the path. And that path comes from self-request path, which is starting at the slash at this little bit here. And so I probably used all bad names here, but we're passing in the current path value as a render variable named path. Okay? And so that sends /topics.htm or /sites.htm or whatever into it. And then as I showed you in the source code, we have this little if thing. If that path variable is sites.htm, emit class selected. If the path in the topics href, we emit class selected if it's on topics. And so this is just conditional HTML generation. And in Django /app engine, use curly bracket % to indicate this. And so if you look at the render process, if the path is topics.htm, then this is false, so this bit doesn't get rendered, so it looks like that. And if it's topics.htm, this is true, so this bit does get rendered. So if you look at the HTML, I mean, it's a little ugly. I put these on separate lines to make my programming easier. And you kind of see this. It's valid HTML because the begin tag goes from here to here. And then this is the begin tag. And then there's an attribute class that's selected. So again, I'm pretty much putting an attribute on an HTML tag based on a render variable. Yeah?
Is there a reason why you didn't just take the link out?
Take the link out.
Oh.
That's a design decision. And, I just spilled coffee on myself. That's a design decision. And you might guess exactly where I look to for design inspiration on this. So if you go to Google and you click on their sites, they turn from blue to black, but you can still click on the black ones. So to me, that means there is only one possible answer design-wise. I don't really want to talk to designers, right? That saves me from talking to designers by doing what Google says. So I have some rationale, be it ever so right or wrong. No, I consciously made that because Google does it that way. I scratched my head because I don't think I clicked on the black ones very often at Google. I think Google does it to be less surprising, right? It's less surprising when you click on the thing. Why don't you go there?
You're already there.
I know, but maybe you want to refresh it.
That's another time limit.
What?
That's another time limit.
It could be. It could be. So we'll have to ask them, but they're very untalkative as to why they design things that way. So this is our application, and away you go. And as was mentioned, this is totally ripped off of Django. That's a good thing or a bad thing, depending on sort of your view of the universe. Okay. So now we've talked about templates. We've talked about base templates.